Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating victory since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
Right. And I almost read your part. That's
why I have to pause. What, did you forget your name?
No, I just had to pause.
And we're here. We're in my house. Mm-hmm. It's Christmas time-ish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a nice, quiet night. And we're going to watch Netflix after this.
Delightful.
So, we have another novel letter,
which is
don't
a good
we?
One.
Yeah?
It's a good one.
All right, Jess, take it away.
Dear Kristen and Joss, I've listened to your podcasts off and on for months, but I've been binging the last couple of weeks because I realize I have some major PTSD about a former friendship that I thought I was dealing with just fine and had already moved on from. Thank you for your advice on your podcast. I feel like I've been to some really good therapy sessions, which is
great.
What we're hoping.
We
yes.
definitely advocate for therapy.
Yes. Incidentally, I met Kristen at RWA in Denver pre-COVID. Oh. And pre-reconfiguration of RWA.
Ah, yes.
We had a short conversation while both sitting in the lobby area near elevators. I was awestruck and can't remember a thing I said. Okay, so, I have a toxic friend, or should we demote to person, in my life.
Toxic person.
Let's call her Beth, not her real name. About 20 years ago, I had written my first novel, which was a mess and will never be published. You have one of those. The potato thing.
The potato famine romance.
And I had no idea where to go from there, who to submit to, or even if the thing was a decent book. I was dial-upping on the World Wide Web. Wow, that was a while ago. Wow, with your AOL account?
More than 20 years?
And found a writer's group in my area. Excited, I attended their next meeting. Long story short, I ended up in a critique group with real published authors. Ooh. I was definitely fangirling over the members of the group. Beth was dynamic, whip smart, and very opinionated. I'm introverted and felt like a fish out of water because I was a newbie. So I was immediately attracted to Beth's success and publishing smarts. Fast forward a couple years in this weekly critique group where my work in progresses were raked over the coals. In a good way, she said.
All right.
And I was offered a publishing contract with Beth's same publisher. The publisher is fairly niche, so it took my stubborn self to think it's okay to write for a smaller publisher since my first two manuscripts were apparently going to sit in slush piles forever at the bigger companies.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. This is where the problems began, although I didn't find out for a good 4 to 5 years later. Apparently, Beth was upset that I got a hardcover release out of my control and that I had met people in the publishing company that she hadn't because I was invited to an exclusive bookseller's convention also out of my control.
Yeah.
All of that is out of your control. I might be introverted, but I'm not shy or antisocial. I put myself forward to introduce myself and get to know others. My introversion leans more toward the independent side of life. I was the baby of the critique group, but eventually I started publishing more and selling more. Not totally in my control either, except I worked my butt off day in and day out. So I became a threat, which is dumb because there's plenty of swimming room in the publishing pond. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
At critique, Beth would argue with my comments and other manuscripts. Sometimes she wouldn't even allow others to answer my questions, but jump in as if the person needed to be defended. It was plain odd. Before this, our critiquing was always friendly but constructive. During these early years of my group, the dot-com bust happened, so my husband lost his job. In the next while, he spent more time laid off than employed because the tech industry was reconfiguring itself. So I started a freelance editing company, and then later a small press to publish genres that my traditional publisher wasn't putting out, but that I wanted to write. I was continually writing other books and shopping for an agent, etc.
A very common story in the writing world.
Yes. Because I didn't know about the backbiting yet, Beth and I continued our friendship.
Aww.
She edited for my freelance company, and we did conferences together, teaching editing courses. I paid all of her expenses, and we shared long road trips and were usually hotel roomies. I thought we were close friends, at least friends who would try to set fire to each other's career. More on that later. We had a ton in common. Same number of kids, all in close age, husbands with similar mental health problems, same religious beliefs, loved to read the same type of books, same publisher, of course, and our circle of friends became the same in the writing world. For years, we attended almost everything together, and our names basically became intertwined. Then, another lady joined our group who Beth hero worshipped. This was kind of the beginning of our fading out. Honestly, I was becoming friends with Jenny since she introduced me to some publishing professionals that were taking notice of my career, and I became Jenny's go-to editor on her projects outside of the critique. We did some national conferences together, and she became someone who I could spend hours with talking about nothing. I could call Jenny at the end of a long day, and her advice was wise and on point with what I needed to hear. Jenny was about 15 years older than me, and she was a kind of like a generous and wise auntie in the publishing world. When Jenny realized I wasn't 100% tied at the hip with Beth, she confessed a few things.
Ooh.
And I asked her for more information. This is how I found out that pretty much since I got my first contract, Beth had been angry and backbiting me. Thankfully, this was before social media, so there weren't any vague booking rants about me at the time, which there are now on Twitter posted by Beth. Yay.
Wow.
One day, Beth was very discouraged at our group. Her husband had been dealing with employment problems, so she was begging for tons of editing work. I literally gave her almost every job I could, but this also meant her novel writing was suffering. She was in a deep funk. Dave, not his real name, told her he loved her writing and encouraged her to stay in the publishing game. Beth took it to heart and felt a lot better. We were carpooling at the time. Then, a handful of weeks later, on an email group we all shared with a bunch of other authors in our same community, a man talked about how he was thinking of giving up writing. He was published but had gotten several rejections lately. Dave jumped in and encouraged him not to quit and complimented him on his writing career. Beth saw this, of course, and was furious and felt betrayed. See, Dave had recently nitpicked one of this guy's books at our critique group. We frequently discussed other authors we knew and books we'd read, so Beth decided Dave was a liar and a narcissist.
Wow.
That's a real leap.
That's okay. A big jump, yeah.
Over the next couple of years in our group, she'd say she couldn't come if Dave was coming. Not to his face, but we all knew what she was doing. I, of course, disagreed with her assessment of Dave. People can be encouraging and not considered liars or narcissistic, which is a serious mental disorder and shouldn't be lambasted around.
Thank you.
It's so true.
Yes.
So true. Meanwhile, Beth and I were already involved in several co-writing ventures together that included mutual author friends, some traditionally published projects, others through my indie imprint. Ironically, Beth had a falling out with many of our former collaborators.
Ironically, indeed. Who could have called that?
Beth and I served on the same committees and boards for conferences. Whenever someone brought up inviting Dave as a keynote or instructor, Beth was sure to disparage his name so that Dave wouldn't receive the invite. Oh my God! At one point, I was at an author event without Beth, and someone asked me how they were surprised I was close friends with her because she was always so negative and angry. I really thought about that deeply. The comment, coupled with what Jenny had told me and Beth's treatment of Dave, made me step back. There were several other things that Beth did to undermine my growing career, but I'm keeping this letter under 1,000 pages. We appreciate that. Thank you. Despite all these red flags, I'm kind of a Pollyanna personality and I have almost zero guile towards others. That sounds very familiar.
You're looking at me in a funny way.
I am kind of looking at you in a weird way. Yet maybe it was time to stand up for myself. I never did, but I did stand up for Dave. Beth posted a random rant on social media without naming Dave, but it was pretty obvious to many writers in our community. She called him out on things that were petty and pointless and had nothing to do with her own career. I was afraid that Dave's sweet wife would see it. I spent a sleepless night agonizing over what I should say and finally wrote a very diplomatic email to Beth asking her to take down posts. Her reply arrived with flaming arrows, telling me that she'd consulted with trusted sources and they agreed she should post it. I know all her trusted sources. She said my lack of support for her post about Dave had thrown her into a major depression spiral.
Oh my.
So it's okay to justify being cruel and vindictive if you're struggling with depression? I checked her post over the next couple days and she never took it down. One of my issues was that other writers had seen it, and we were on the same board for a huge educational project, so we should be seen as professionals and not engage in middle school rants on social media. Things were a little murky after that. She was no longer editing for me anyway, but I was still publishing contracted stories through my independent press. Our critique group disbanded over at year 10 because two members moved away and Jenny died of cancer.
Oh.
I still miss her. That's really sad. I continued doing my thing and I ended up with a pretty major contract for one of my pen names and signed with a top agent in the business. Beth quit our shared publisher, tried to find her own agent for a new book, but also dabbled in the indie route on her own. We still crossed paths at conferences and mass book signings. As she was still publishing the stories with my imprint, complicated story there, mostly I felt I'd lost what I thought was a close friend and wondered how I could have been so blindsided. But it was fine. I was fine. Everything's fine. The only relationship between us were emails here and there dealing with my publishing imprint and her stories until the greatest shock of June 2022. To preface my great shock of June 2022, I must back up to March 2021. I had signed with a new publisher. My agent and I had submitted book ideas, but the publisher ultimately asked me to write a certain story about a marginalized group of people who were human trafficked. The research was horrific, but I did my due diligence and used sensitivity readers, the whole nine yards. I was honestly stressed about the release because it was such a detour from my lighter, heartwarming novels my readership expected. The book came out early COVID, but ended up doing very well because I hit the book club reader market and presented 2 to 3 Zoom book clubs per week for months.
Wow.
The book became a Goodreads Award finalist and it received starred reviews from national review entities. I was invited to many online presentations at libraries and organizations like the School Library Journal, in which I spoke to thousands of librarians. So when the call came in March 2021 from my publisher, I was very surprised. They had received a letter from a national organization that represented the marginalized group My Story Incorporated. The letter said that they weren't demanding that my book be canceled, but that we should turn down any awards that it had been nominated for. It was currently nominated for several, some local, some national. I read the letter, and some very odd things stood out to me. One, it was clear the person who had written the letter had not read my book, and they'd been fed information that was at odds with the intense research I'd done. Two, it mentioned a specific award that I'd been nominated for, a regional award, that literally no one outside of my community would know about. This is what stressed me out. To know that someone in my community, a marginalized person who suffered human trafficking, had been re-traumatized by my story. Mm. My publisher and I agreed to contact the award entities, not to withdraw my nominations, but to say that if I was a winner, to award a winning certificate up to second place instead.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't want any negative attention piled onto the receipt of the letter. My heart was heavy. June 2022. This past summer, I was at a book signing, and one of my longtime friends, mutual friends with Beth, was signing with me. Another author there told me how much her mom loved my book. She asked if I ever received feedback from those in the marginalized group. I said I'd received a handful of emails, some with stories of their own, and a couple who were interested in being interviewed on my Facebook page. Mostly, though, I'd heard from readers through my book club presentations. I'd also become an ambassador for a local anti-human trafficking organization that mentors survivors, taking them to, like, the dentist for the first time, helping them open up their first checking account and stuff like that. And then for some reason, I said, there was a complaint letter sent to my publisher that asked me not to accept any awards. I never found out who the letter instigator was, though. Then my author friend next to me, we'll call her Shelley, said, I know who it was.
Mm-hmm.
I whipped around to face her because she knew about the letter from the year before. She was one of the three people I confided in. I, of course, sweetly urged her to confess. I could tell she'd slipped and felt horrible. She'd said something. So I asked, is it someone from the marginalized group? She said no. I said, what if I guess her initials? Since I didn't want the third author to know about my full drama. She agreed. I guessed the initials and Shelley's face went red.
Oh.
It had been Beth. All along.
Jesus.
She'd read my best-selling book, decided to take it upon herself to write a national organization and complain about historically accurate information. I'm a firm believer in hashtag her story and not bearing the truth. The icing on the cake was that after the signing, I pressed Shelley for more information and she said, Beth told me what she'd done and that she was proud of it. I didn't want to tell you and make you feel bad, so I said, I'm relieved that it's not a human trafficking survivor. It's just a former friend who evidently has a vendetta against me and has declared herself gatekeeper for my publishing career. So here it is. Here I am in 2022, still Beth's publishers for her short story. I had short conversations with Beth at various conferences over the year, not knowing a thing. I've never felt so betrayed in my life. We've all heard story about canceled authors or canceled books. This was serious, low, dirty. An email written from her to me with concerns might have been nice. We don't need to be best friends or even close friends to be professional. This past month, I was at a conference that Beth had never attended in its 8 years until now. We were both teaching, but on opposite days. I spotted Beth a couple of times, always by herself. She also ranted on social media about how she had her formerly close author friends abandon her. I had to practically sit on my hands to stop from waving her over and asking her to join me for lunch. Bizarrely, it was my first instinct. Looking at you, Kristen.
Sweetie.
I know. And then I had to remember, Beth absolutely hates me down to her deepest core. But I just naturally hate to see someone left out. Or a new writer with their head down at their very first conference. So I had to fight against my impulse. After the lunch, I headed to the ladies' room. When I came out, Beth was literally standing outside the door waiting for me. I decided to say hi and move on. But she asked me all about the class I'd taught that morning, chattering away as if she hadn't tried to destroy my publishing career. Which, by the way, I'm the sole provider now in my family, which means I'm writing 3 to 4 books a year. Mm. My writing is no hobby or fun side project.
Right.
That's right. On the second day of the conference, she was teaching that day, so I knew she'd be there. I couldn't make myself go. This is the opposite of my personality. I push through hard things and give other people grace to be themselves. It wasn't until one of my friends texted me multiple times to come down that I finally went. I realized then that I was letting Beth take me from my people, my tribe. Since this conference is a smaller one, I felt like my space was invaded. At the bigger ones, it's not such a big deal. I guess after this long letter, I'm hoping for some advice. I know I can't confront her because Dave confronted her on a couple of things about a year ago, and she denied everything. Besides, I don't want to throw Shelly under the bus. She might need to be my spy. Why Shelly is still friends with Beth, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
How do I deal with my emotions and likely PTSD when seeing Beth at conferences? I'm literally closing down the publishing line she's in at the end of 2023, so I don't have to work with her anymore. The publishing line made her a USA to the bestseller, and we've sold 36 of the titles to an audiobook publisher and 6 foreign translations. So this is going to be a missed opportunity for many future writers. I've either snoozed or unfollowed her on social media. We have 0 in-person relationship except for the passing hello on my part and her burst of friendliness outside the bathroom at the conference. I need to figure out a way to let go of the big betrayal so I can enjoy my own writing community, local conferences, and not feel like I'm on pins and needles around her. Sincerely, trying to move on.
Okay. Joss was giving me pointed looks throughout.
Yes.
Because we sound a lot alike.
Yes.
You know, and giving everyone, you know, a chance and giving everyone, you know, assuming you'd be friends with everybody and assuming the best about them even when it's demonstrated that, you know, they might not be the nicest people. So, yes, I've had a similar experience to this where, you know, a writing friend whom I thought was a very good friend did something, you know, to hurt my career. And it was devastating. And like you, we were often grouped together. It was really... It was like an explosion in my life because I had faith in this person and really genuinely liked her and stuff, and thought that we were equals supporting each other, but that was not the case, and it really shook me to my core, and I was crushed. I told as few people as possible. I unfollowed her from social media. We did have a conversation. And she denied anything. But I realized, like, I have to put some distance between us. And I will tell you that it took a year to get over her, to stop thinking about her every day, to stop thinking about but we were so close, but we had so much fun together, but we, you know, and also my instinct was to kind of warn people, don't let what happened to me happen to you, but I couldn't. I just, you know, I had to say, however, like you, I was also approached by other authors who'd had the same experience. And apparently this person went through best writing friends like tissues. And it was really, really hard. It was extremely hard to... I mean, I remember like feeling afraid in the lobby as a very popular writer in certain conferences. And thinking like, oh God, there she is, you know? And, you know, we had mutual friends and stuff and I had no idea. I mean, I eventually learned what she was saying and stuff. But, this is one of those times when we remember the Eleanor Roosevelt quote that says, no one can destroy your reputation except you.
Truth.
And I think that you just keep going with your head held high. You keep working hard. Block her. Don't mute her. Stay away from conversations about her and what she did to you. Don't spread the word. you know, Shelley, not her real name, told you something that you can't verify. And you, I mean, you know how this person operates. She's bad news. And just keep as much distance between you and her as possible. Don't shut down the publishing line that publishes her stories. Drop her. You get to do that as a publisher. And you don't need to give her any reason. If this is a successful line for you, if this is an opportunity for other authors to be successful, why give her that victory? That, you know, if I can't have it, no one will.
Don't renew her contract.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare shut that down. You know, there are people who feel like if it's not me, then I'm angry. You know, if I'm not the anointed one at this moment, then I'm out to get the anointed one. And you can't rationalize with them. You're very wise to know that there's no talking to her. You'll never have that one honest conversation where she admits what she did. And I think just give yourself time. It's so hard when it's your bread and butter. And I, you know, if you, you know, you don't need to tell anybody except if you have to. Like if, say, you're asked to give a panel with her and you just say, Beth and I don't do presentations anymore, but thank you for the invitation. Suggest someone else. You know, I'd love to do it. How about with Shelley? You know? So a betrayal like that, it takes a long time to get over. And you have every reason to be devastated. You should be able to expect more from friends. That being said, she showed you a dozen times who she was before she took out the big knife and plunged it into your back.
Right. She did.
You know, her interactions with the critique group. With
Dave.
Random
and petty thing
about
him.
From speaking.
Yeah,
vague booking. People who vague book make me crazy.
Me too.
I actually have a lovely friend whose company I really enjoy, but she vague books. And it makes me want to throttle her. I'm like, come on.
Stop it.
We're in our 50s
now.
Cut
it out.
So I'm so sorry this happened to you.
Me too.
It's going to take time. And it will get better.
Yes.
You know, I don't usually think about the person who... you know, whom I felt wronged me. And and the hurt of that broken friendship has faded. And, you know, it's funny. You know, Jess and I often say we learned more in our 40s than we did in all the decades prior. And our 50s are like the good years. Where you have proven friendships, where you know what you're doing professionally, where you... you don't have that drama and angst and like, did I hurt your feelings? Like, why didn't you return my email? And all that bullshit is behind you.
Yeah.
So this was a big lesson to you about being more discerning with people. You don't have to be exclusive or snooty or say, like, I'll never have another writing friend. But you get to be discerning about who's in your inner circle. And keep writing your good books. You know, it sounds like you were super careful with that that sensitive topic and did your research and you were asked to write it. There's that whole, you know, stay in your lane. Like, if you weren't sex trafficked, you shouldn't write about sex. But we all cross over. We're fiction writers. We write about things that haven't happened to us personally. And we do our best to represent that honestly and truthfully and give make room for the voices of people who have, right? You've done what you can, and you just gotta stay away from her. And a word to the wise. Shelley was willing to tell you. Maybe she had really good intentions, but it sounded very gossipy. So a word of caution.
Watch that.
It would have been one thing if she had taken you aside and said, listen, I heard, I know something and I feel that you should know for future interactions. But if she knew, not if she heard, but if she had absolute
proof. Firsthand knowledge.
And I remember someone coming up to me and saying, you know, what happened to you with X happened to me.
Right.
And it, I think maybe more than anything, that was the healing moment of, it wasn't me personally.
No.
It wasn't, it was just something she did.
Right.
And she did because of insecurity and, you know, maybe lack of originality, whatever, but, you still get to be you and she still has to be her.
Well, yes.
Right?
That's... Yeah, no, I was going to say that you really don't have to worry about what's going to happen to her because people already know. Right. If she's been doing it to you and she's doing it to Dave, she's doing it to other people and people already know.
Yeah.
And conferences, as you know, are so gossipy and small. You have to be on your best behavior, not saying bad things in the elevator or in the ladies' room because you have no idea who's in there with you. And people will talk about this, though, that people will know. So you don't have to worry about that. Just be your gracious, wonderful self when you go to these conferences. If you see her, cordial, ask her how she's doing.
Give her a nod.
And keep it moving.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do because the cream will float to the top, right? And what does Michelle Obama say?
When they go low, we go high.
So stay high. Stay high.
Yeah. And it sounds like you are working so hard and you have great success. And that does come through hard work and talent and luck. And you can't, you know, you can't have a career as a writer if you're not a hard worker.
That's true.
And you're doing it. You're walking the walk. And she's destroying reputations as best she can.
People will see what she's doing. I promise you.
People know. People know.
I promise you. So,
and they will look at you. And know who you are too. And I remember an instance where I kind of went out of my way for an acquaintance who was in distress, and ended up, you know, she was in pretty bad physical distress, and I ended up staying with her till like 3 o'clock in the morning, and she apologized to me because she had been listening to rumors, the rumors, and she said, I think you're amazing and not many people would have done this. And so, you know, your reputation, it might have taken a hit from with the gossips, but you just keep being you.
Yes.
And people will say, you know, I heard that rumor too. Yeah. Utter bullshit.
Yeah, absolutely. These things get around. I was going to say that because you asked, she needs to figure out a way how to let go of the big betrayal. Have you gone to therapy at all? I mean, we talk a lot in our book about how this is almost like a death when you are betrayed this way by a friend. So I would say consider that and give yourself a break because it's going to take time for you to like be able to refocus your energy off of the big betrayal. And it takes practice. It takes you, like, knowing that you're thinking about betrayal and consciously turning your thoughts around.
Yeah, it's cognitive behavioral therapy. That's so you have to train your thoughts to stop and focus elsewhere.
Yeah.
And it takes work.
It does.
And and you're right now, it's still very fresh.
Yeah.
But it's vicious, also, man. It's vicious a woman. Big deal what happened to you.
I know.
It is a big betrayal. Vicious. And you're not exaggerating, you know, the damage she tried to inflict, the viciousness, the meanness of it all.
It's so petty.
Awful.
Yeah.
So also let that be acknowledged too, that this was a big deal and a big event in your life. Mm-hmm. And it gets that it deserves that time for you to work it through.
Mm-hmm.
And it is great to have good therapists
to help you with that. Yes. Yeah.
Horrible story.
Horrible.
But we are rooting for you and your continued success.
Mm-hmm.
And hang in there.
Yeah.
It gets better.
It does.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Send your letters to theladies@crappyfriends.net. And please consider leaving us a review.
Crappy Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends. Forever.